morning. You doing good?
Awesome. I don't know how you couldn't be after a worship set like that and a prayer time like that. Listen, I want you to know that Sunday mornings aren't just for you to experience something for 70 minutes, okay? It's something that's an appetizer to push you into the rest of your week. Right, so the presence of God that you just felt during worship, the presence of God that you just experienced during prayer, the presence of God that you're going to experience through the message, the presence of God that you're going to experience in gathering outside as you're walking out, that doesn't have to stay here. That leaves with you. And listen, if I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the pastor here at the White Oak location of Bridge City Church. And I'm so excited you decided to spend your Sunday morning here with us, worshiping God and praising his name. There's literally no place I'd rather be than right here with you all doing exactly that. Obviously, this side of heaven. Heaven's going to be way better than this, but I love having heaven practice. Amen? Amen. Listen, we get to continue our series today on the Holy Spirit. And I know that whenever you hear Holy Spirit, some of us get really scared. Some of us get really nervous. And that's okay. We're going to unpack that a little bit more today. But before we start fully talking about everything we're going to receive today, I want to go to Romans 8, and it's verse 14. And this verse tells us, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Now listen, we're all called to take our rightful position as a son or daughter of the King. But whenever we're fully led by him, whenever we're fully following him, that's when we people around us really know that we're a king's kid. Now listen, I'm going to talk about Lennon a little bit right now. Now some of you know this, some of you don't. No matter where you're at in this, I ask that you never treat Lennon any differently. Are we good? Lennon is adopted. Rachel and I have had Lennon since the moment he was born. I cut his umbilical cord. We were at every doctor's appointment. We were at every ultrasound. It is an unbelievable feeling whenever somebody doesn't know us at all, and they experience Lennon, and they look at him, and they talk to him, and they're like, he's just like you. Oh, boy, is he going to be tall? Yeah, praying for that. Yeah, thank you. And it brings me great joy whenever he's around Rachel and people experience him or something happens and they look at him and they say, he's just like her. How does that happen? Because the more time children spend with their parents, they become them. Why am I telling you this? Because the more time you spend with the Father, others will start to recognize. Others will start to know. Others will start to realize whose kid you are. And that is a beautiful thing. And I'm praying that each and every one of us get to a point that people will see us and know what family we're a part of, what kingdom we are serving. Now listen, when I say the Holy Spirit, like I said, there's some confusion that arises. There's fear that arises. There's anxiety that may arise in some people. And it's okay because when we understand that a majority of the New Testament was written so that we could understand the workings of God and the Holy Spirit and who he is and why he was given to us. And listen, today we're going to talk specifically about fruit. The fruit that we receive from the Holy Spirit. And I want it to be a message that changes our perspective, changes our hearts, changes the way we walk, and changes us from just walking as people who have personalities and start walking as people who have a spirituality. Everything that we do is spiritual. And you start to walk in that when you start to make a shift in your life. A lot of us are walking in churchianity. What's churchianity? Sundays are nice. I go to group every once in a while. Pastor Nick's been telling me to sign up for a group for 7 years. I think I might do it this year. I think he might be on to something. That's what churchianity is. I want us to walk in Christianity. And Christianity doesn't just change you, it changes the world around you. It changes your family. It changes your workplace. It changes the type of employee that you are. It changes the type of husband that you are, type of wife that you are. It changes the type of children that you are. It changes everything. I don't want you all to be just good churchgoers. I want you to be Christians to change your world. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about your world. Yeah. You talk to people I'll never get the opportunity to talk to. You talk to people that I'll never get the opportunity to meet. But I pray that you're impacting people in such a way that we all get to meet in heaven one day. And you may be thinking, well, the culture around us is so against us. The culture's so against us. Listen, the culture's not against Christianity. The culture is against the God that they've experienced through Christians. Let that sink in. You may be the only Bible that somebody ever reads. Make sure they picked a good verse. Make sure that when you invite people to church, they're not shocked that you go. You go to church? Friends of mine used to own the Pennzoil right down on Walnut in McKeesport, and the owner's name was Chris. And I remember I sent a single mom down there. Her name is Jaquetta. And I was like, hey, listen, go in, see Chris, tell him Nick sent you. He'll take care of you, I promise. I'm calling and let him know. I didn't get the call because Jaquetta went really early. And she walked in. She said, is Chris here? And Chris was there. And she said, I need new tires. Nick sent me. Said, Nick, you know Nick? She was like, yeah. He said, how do you know Nick? She said, I go to church with him. And she said his neck almost snapped. Nick goes to church? And Jaquetta was like, he sure does. He's going to be a pastor. And he was like, oh, big Nick. I thought you were talking about my cousin. And if he's going to church, it's way different. Make sure that your character is seen by everyone that's around you. And your character isn't just your personality. Your character is who God created you to be. We can't make a difference in our world until we allow God to make a difference within us. We can't work outwardly until we allow God to continue to work inwardly in our lives. Let's turn to Matthew 7, verse 16. You can identify them by their fruit. That is by the way that they act. Listen, fruit takes work. You need to cultivate it. You need to care for it. You need to plant it. You need to water it. You need to put in the work. The same is true for our lives. We're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit in a little bit, but if we want those things, we need to put in the work to cultivate those things. Here's a perfect example. My wife, she's sitting in the front row. I love her with all my heart. Rachel loves gardening, like partial gardening. She's not digging holes or anything. She's not, you know, tilling the backyard and putting her hand to the plow. She has lots of pots that are full of plants. There's pots everywhere. A couple years ago, Rachel wanted to grow vegetables and fruit. So she got her pots ready. At this time, I was like really, all I ate was avocados at this moment. I ate avocados in every way possible. Guacamole, avocado toast. I ate them like apples. I loved avocados. And Rachel got the idea that she was going to start to contribute to my avocado guacamole love. So she planted tomatoes. She planted jalapenos. We got one jalapeno that year. I was too shy of being able to make a proper bowl of guacamole. Those tomatoes that we got, they cost a lot. They were very valuable tomatoes because there wasn't a lot. And we needed other people to cultivate those things in our lives. We needed Pastor Rick and Natalie to give us cages for the tomatoes because they had faith that we were going to need that. Why am I telling you this? Because if we want fruit in our life, we're going to need to put in the work, and we're going to need others to help us put in the work. You can go to Aldi and buy all the things that we tried to grow. That's skipping steps. There's something about whenever you grow something on your own. And listen, there's people far ahead of us that are way better at bearing fruit in their lives, and we need to follow them. I'm very thankful for all the farmers in the room that it'll be plentiful very soon. There will be so many zucchinis that show up here because they have so many of them. They'll be out front. People will put them out front. Just take zucchinis. Fruit means that we're not only impacting our lives, but other lives are being impacted. And I love this quote. I always have, and I always will. Time will tell, and fruit doesn't lie. If you're putting in the work, the fruit of your life will show not only to your family, but to those around you. And I want us to be a place that fruit is so evident that people desire to walk in what we have. We're going to spend a lot of time in Galatians today, and Paul was writing the book of Galatians to encourage churches in Galatia, not just one singular church. And he was helping people to see that following Jesus wasn't just about all of these rules, but it was about an indwelling of Jesus in their hearts and their lives. It wasn't about rules to follow. It was about an indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Jesus, within us. Paul was dealing with a mess in Galatia. There was a lot of things going on. There was a lot of problems. In chapter 1, he wanted them to live in grace and in empowerment from the inside. They were living in this external way, and they were trying to please God. They were fighting to please God instead of allowing God to indwell their heart and be seen throughout. Listen, if you're living in a form of Christianity that you think that if you could just follow all the rules, you'd be okay. If you could just put this behind you, you'd be okay. If you would just be able to follow better. That's not the case. It's about you being mature in your Christianity and keeping the Holy Spirit in your life and allowing him to change and transform and lead you every single day. Galatians 5, 16 through 18, let's read. It says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants you to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires are. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you're not free to carry out your own good intentions. But when you're directed by the Spirit, you're not under the obligation of the law of Moses. So how do we let the Holy Spirit guide our lives? First, we need to recognize that there is a battle between good and evil constantly. And you're not the good part. He is. And there's a real enemy that is battling that every single day. When you're walking in such a way that you're putting your flesh behind you and allowing for the desires that God's placed in your heart to come out, it changes you. Listen, our human nature is in conflict with the Holy Spirit. Our flesh, not just the enemy, us, our own flesh that is inside of us and is battling with the Holy Spirit, which is also inside of us. If we're led by the Spirit, we're not under the law any longer. We're led by the Holy Spirit that indwells us. We're guided. We're walked with. We're doing it in our own free will, and we're not under compulsion or rules any longer. Verse 19, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Listen, it's not just saying that anyone living that sort of life is not going to get into heaven. It's saying that anybody living that type of life and giving into those desires is not going to experience the kingdom of God here. This is kingdom stuff. Us gathering together is kingdom stuff. You experiencing the joy and the life of the people around you, that's kingdom stuff. You going through something and dealing with something and knowing that somebody has your back in it, that's kingdom stuff. You going through a sickness or a disease and knowing that somebody's praying with you and encouraging you and empowering you and equipping you, that's kingdom stuff. You getting over that addiction that's been holding on to you for years, that's kingdom stuff. You walking in a way that doesn't feed your own flesh any longer, that's kingdom stuff. And I want each and every one of us to experience more and more kingdom every single day of our lives. That's what I want. I don't want you to just experience the things that bring you pleasure. I want you to experience the things that bring people around you joy. Thanks, Victoria. You have two choices to choose from. Whether you're going to be somebody that lives and dwells in the tree of life, or you're going to be somebody that understands the true knowledge of good and evil. What's giving you life? What is guiding you? What is pushing you forward? I just want to pray right now. Because I believe that there's something that somebody heard that word and they're like, that's me. I really think it's the outburst of anger part. I think there's somebody in this room right now that you've been dealing with anger for far too long. And you've been taking that anger out on the people that are far too close to you. And God wants you to get free of that. I just want to pray. Listen, you might be somebody that's dealing with something else on that list. You're like, well, I'm not sexually impure. You know what that translates to? It translates to pornea. Take a guess what that word means. Maybe you're struggling with that. God wants you to get free today. Father God, I thank you for this group of people. I thank you that you know all. You know every hair on their head. You know the beginning and the end. You know that person that heard your verse in Galatians 5 and they identified with it. God, we pray for freedom right now for that person. We pray for victory for that person right now. We pray that they wouldn't be someone that feels like they have to fight for it or they have to strive for it, but they would be a person that is living in victory and walking in freedom. God, that they would be able to get beyond their flesh. They'd be able to get beyond their own earthly desires, and they would understand that the war has already been won. May they live in victory. And we praise you, God, in advance for what you're freeing people from, even right now in this place, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's keep going. Verse 22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Notice that it says fruit. There's one fruit of the Holy Spirit with multiple characteristics. Let's think of a fruit. Somebody shout out a fruit. Pineapple. Come on. Second worst you experienced in a row. You went for what color is a pineapple?
Green and yellow.
What else?
Brown.
Brown? Any other colors? Did you say golden? That's a good pineapple. You get one of those golden ones. What does a pineapple feel like? Prickly, spiky, right? How do you know if a pineapple is ripe? You can smell the bottom of it. I hope I walk through Giant Eagle later and I see all of you sniffing pineapples. What's a pineapple taste like?
Delicious.
Delicious. Yeah. I mean, I've had a bad pineapple before. What's it taste like? Sweet. Somebody screamed juicy. I don't know what juicy tastes like, but we'll throw that one in there. What else? Tangy, sour, tart, sweet and sour. When you hear sweet and sour, what do you think of? Not a pineapple. The dipping sauce at McDonald's for the McNuggets. That's what you think of. Come on, tell the truth, shame the devil. What else is a pineapple? Is there a core?
Yes.
Does it taste as good as the outer part? No? No, it's bitter. Now, we explained all these different characteristics of a pineapple. Is it a different fruit?
Yes.
No, it has all these characteristics, but it's still the same fruit. Listen, you may be in this room, and you may be thinking, I need to grow in kindness. And your kindness may be shown differently than somebody else's kindness. Your joy may be expressed differently than somebody else's joy. The way that you need to grow in self-control may be completely different than somebody else and how they need to grow in self-control. It is the same fruit with different characteristics. I know that I am seeking God to I need more patience. I am not a patient person. I thought that would be the moment you'd shout me down, throw money at my feet. I'm also a person that needs to continue to grow in not reacting. Okay, so self-control. But I know that I've grown in this area. Why? A guy cut me off in traffic the other day. I knew he was going to do it. And it was like a blatant, violent cutoff. And I didn't like it. I wasn't happy. But I saw him drive past me. And I got a glimpse of him. And then he cut me off. And the old Nick would have found a way to get in front of him and make sure he knew that my brakes worked and prayed that his did. You get what I'm saying? We have any recovering brake checkers in the room? Okay. Listen, tell the truth. Now, a Nick that is impacted and changed by the Holy Spirit, I started praying for that guy. Because I saw the anger on his face when he was beside me. I saw the fear. I saw the anxiety. And I started thinking about either that man's driving into something or he's driving away from something. Holy Spirit-filled Nick does that. Flesh Nick gets in front of them and slams on the brakes and hopes they get out of the car. Because I'm tinted. My windows are tinted. You can't see who's in it. So when I get out, it's a whole different ballgame. Okay? That's old Nick. What area do you need to grow in? What fruit do you need to see grow in your life? The Holy Spirit has one work in all of us, and it's this. That we walk in it. Listen, I can't teach you fruit. I can try to teach it, I can try to explain it, I could try to tell you about it, but you can't fully walk in it until you learn it yourself and you experience it yourself, until you experience the joy of the Holy Spirit in such a way that it exudes every area of your life. I am not the happiest person all the time. She said amen. But I still have joy in my heart. There's a difference. What area do you need empowered in? Listen, fruit is not something you achieve, but it's something that you cultivate and you produce. It's not just going to show up. You need to put in the work. The Holy Spirit is graceful as he empowers us with his presence, and there's a power for us to walk in. The fruit of the Spirit, they're broken up into three separate areas, which is actually quite interesting. The first three is our attitude towards God. The love, the joy, the peace that we get to walk in and experience. Whenever you're walking with God in such a close way, the way that you love people changes. You can love people that the world tells you to hate. I didn't say agree with them. I didn't say coddle them. love them. Your patience with people changes whenever you're walking closely with God. Your patience is something that God wants to pull out of you so that others can see it. The peace that is upon your life isn't just related to what's going on in your life. It's related to who you're walking with. You ever been angry and then you get around a joyful person? You ever been going through strife and you get around a person that's walking in peace? You ever been walking through something and somebody loves you in such a way that it helps you to see God in a whole different light? This is our attitude towards God. And if you're walking around as an angry person, you're saying God didn't give enough. If you're walking around as an ungrateful person and not full of peace, you're saying that you're discounting what Jesus Christ did on the cross. I'm just saying. The second three is how we deal with our relationship with others: patience, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. Whenever we're walking with people in such a way that we are an example of what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives and through our lives, it changes things. I had a wedding yesterday, and I got to work it with a brother. I'm not going to say a friend. He's family at this point. And just being around each other just changed everything. I didn't feel good. I was sick. I wanted to be sleeping. I didn't feel good at all, but just being around him changed it. And I feel like the same was true for him. Sometimes you just need to get around people. You need to get out of the things that you're stuck in. You need to relate to people in such a way that you know that you're being led to do it by the Holy Spirit. The final three: faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These three deal with principles that guide our conduct. How are you living your life? Maybe you need to grow in faith. Grow in trusting that he is who he says he is, and he'll take you where he wants to take you, and he'll lead you into those things, and he'll give you everything that you need. Maybe you need to be a little bit more faithful with your church attendance. Why? Because God's not going to judge us based upon our intentions. He's going to judge us based upon our actions. We want God to grade us on a curve. He does not do that. Our intentions are great sometimes. Our intentions are also not so great, but our faithfulness is what is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Are you faithful? If you sign up for a group, do you attend and contribute? If you're a part of church, do you not just attend on Sundays? You're a part. You're not just a consumer, you're a contributor. John 15, 4 through 5. Jesus' words here: abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Abide in him. Has anybody ever seen an orange just growing in the grass? Anyone at all? You have? That's pretty amazing. I love that. Does he have oranges? Who has a farm? What, does he grow oranges? Can I get like a fruit basket? No. New Hampshire. I want to go to New Hampshire one day. I want to do the whole New England area. I love lobster. Let me talk about this real quick. When we're abiding in the Father and we're getting life and we're getting impacted by him and changed by him, the fruit in our life becomes evident to others and they can benefit from it. Rachel and I, we had a phenomenal neighbor. His name was Jose, and he had a pear tree in his backyard. And I used to love when I'd see Jose in the backyard. He had a ladder and he'd be gathering fruit, because I knew that Jose was going to fill a brown paper bag and come over to my house and give me some pears. I got the benefit from his labor and from his fruit. And it was such a picture to me this week as I was praying for this message that if we work at cultivating something, others will experience it and be changed and transformed by it and get joy from it. Jose and his wife have since moved back to Puerto Rico. That's where they were from. They moved back because she was sick and she needed a warmer climate. Pittsburgh wasn't it for her. So they wanted to go back home. Now, Jose's family moved into the house. And they do not cultivate the fruit in the backyard anymore. I don't get pears at my house. I don't get the benefit from the fruit. But the tree's still there. The tree's still there. It's just waiting for somebody to prune it, waiting for somebody to care for it, waiting for somebody to know the benefits of the fruit. So I'm asking you today, are you abiding in him? Are you dwelling in him? Are you remaining in love with him? Because if you are, Jesus tells us in John 14:15, that if you love me, you will obey my commands. He called us to be fruitful. And you cannot be fruitful unless you're connected to Jesus 100%. You can't skip steps. You can't just go and pick it up on Amazon. You got to follow the process, and the process starts at the cross. So if you're sitting here today and you're thinking, man, I really need to be more faithful, or I need to be more gentle, or I need to be more kind, or I need to practice self-control more in my life, or I really pray that I would be a joyful person. Lord, I just need to experience your love. You're trying to get the fruit before you start at the branch. The root. So if you don't have a day, a time, a moment, a place where you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want today to be your day. And I'm going to ask you to do one of the bravest things you've ever done, one of the most uncomfortable things you might ever do. But I want you to be reminded that the cross wasn't comfortable for Jesus. I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me. I don't have a day, a time, a place where I've fully received you as Lord of my life, forgiver of my past. Anyone at all today? Maybe you received that gift once and you tried to return it, and today needs to be the day that you rededicate your life to Jesus. Anyone at all? Maybe you're like me and you're scared to raise your hand like I was 21 years ago. All you need to do is take your phone and tap it on the card on the seat in front of you. And you'll be prompted, I want to give my life to Jesus. And we'll get your information and we'll pray with you and encourage you and empower you and equip you to move forward in everything that Jesus has for you. Father God, I thank you for this amazing group of people. I thank you for who they are. I thank you that you've called us to continue to walk in your presence and your praise, praying to you constantly and knowing that your Holy Spirit is what protects us, leads us, guides us. Lord, I pray that we would continue to allow for you to prune the things in our lives so that we can be fruitful, we can multiply, and we can help people experience you, the living God. In Jesus' name.
Amen, amen, amen. Good stuff.